you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. As I read this, the words that we sang today in our second hymn, Deep in the Shadows of the Past, number 2246 in the Faith We Sing hymnal, these words kept echoing and bouncing around in my head along with verse 4. For all the writings that survived, for leaders long ago, who sifted, copied, and preserved the Bible that we know, give thanks and find its story yet, our promise, strength, and call. The model of emerging faith, alive with hope for all. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Sometimes we feel as though the Bible has been stolen. Stolen by those who wish to project it up and create a God out of it, that they then kneel down and worship. It usually contains the adjectival inerrant word of God. And my friends, the fundamentalist pastors who will do it, they'll grab their Bibles and they'll take their Bibles and they'll wave it around and they'll shake it at you. Only this is a New International Version and they would never do that with this one. Here's a King Jimmy. I mean, it's got gilded edges somewhat. It got a leather bound and it's a Nelson production. King James, here, they'll use the King James. And they'll shake it at you. And they'll say, do you believe in the inerrant word of God? And I hear these bellowing demands. And I want to rescue the Bible from them. Rescue it from hands that would use it as a weapon. Rescue it from hearts that would deny its message in favor of a legalistic reading of its words. From those who would deny the word's message in favor of this. The words of humans attempting to struggle, attempting to hear and to write, to speak, to articulate the experience of the mysterious divine that they have had. The Word of God. The beautiful, glorious Word of God. When I was a student in college, I wanted to study the Word of God. I went and took Old Testament, New Testament classes and was fascinated by the Word of God. So I studied the languages. I studied Greek. I studied Hebrew because I wanted to read them in the original languages in which they were written. And I went on to graduate school because I loved the study of Scripture. One of the fields of the study of Scripture that fascinated me the most was that of the preservation of Scripture, of its writing and transmission. It's a field, an art, and a science known as textual criticism, in which scholars have looked at and studied how the Bible came to us as we have it today. In publications like the Nelson King James Version, or the NIV, or the NRSV. You see, even someone like me can have a floppy leather-bound Bible, too. The study of the Word of God gripped me. The study of its transmission gripped me. I learned languages because it gripped me. The idea that God would speak to us through a wide-ranging chorus of voices, speaking in multiple languages across many centuries to many audiences about their encounter with God. So what do we believe about the Bible? What does a Methodist, a United Methodist, believe about the Bible? There are many places to turn to begin to answer that question. One of the initial places you should turn when you start is what the church officially says in its articles of religion. So let's just take a look at that. And I ask that you pardon the archaic English for just a moment. The Holy Scriptures containeth all things necessary to salvation, so that whatsoever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not to be required of any man that it should be believed as an article of faith, or be thought requisite or necessary to salvation. Ugh. Now what that means literally is, if you do not find it written in Scripture, or you can't prove it by an interpretation thereby or thereof, then you can't demand that someone believe it in order to be a member of the family of faith. This becomes, therefore, a limiting guideline, limiting in only what is required for belief. That actually is freeing, my friends. It means that we're free to believe many things, but the limitations for what is necessary for salvation, i.e., for living a life with God, can only be determined by what can be read and articulated from here. That actually becomes a freeing statement. Freeing because we are no longer limited to believe just what is here. We have the freedom to roam and to think and to experience the revelation of God that we can encounter in many different places, in many different experiences, just as they experienced God in many different places, ways, and experiences. Well, I thought it was all the inerrant word of God dictated by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. I thought it was all the inerrant word of God dictated by God to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul and Peter, James. I thought that the Bible came about. This is one of my friends who's a Baptist pastor in Arizona. He says, I thought the Bible came about this way. God said, Paul, write this. And Paul began writing. And as God dictated it, Paul wrote it. And when he told me that, in an email no less, I shot him back a question. I said, you mean when Paul said, the Lord says, but here's my opinion. When Paul says that in 1 Corinthians, the Lord says this, but here's my opinion. That was God dictating to him too? Or when Paul gets asked a question, he's asked, should women preach and pray in public with their heads uncovered? Paul's answer was not women shouldn't be preaching and praying in public. His answer was when women preach and pray in public, they should do so with their heads covered. And then he begins this long, convoluted, irrational attempt at arguing in favor of it. And he goes all over the place with this answer, finally ending up by saying, look, don't argue about it. We have no such tradition in the church. Well, why didn't you start there, Paul? And if God was dictating it, why did God dictate it that way? Indeed, you can look throughout Scripture and you can see that while you might be able to make an argument for dictation on some pieces, where it does appear that God seems to say, write this and this is written, for most of it, better than 85% of it, there's no way you could possibly make that argument. Not even close. There's even a passage in Hebrews in chapter 2 where it says, someone somewhere has testified to this. Well, don't you think if God was dictating Hebrews that God would know who that someone was and where that someone testified to it? Dictation inspiration fails the muster of looking at what Scripture contains. Dictation inspiration fails to pass the test for what you actually see when you read the Bible. So what does it mean when it is written to Timothy here by Paul, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness? The word inspiration is a great big Greek word, theopneumatos, and it literally means God doing this. God breathed. It literally means God doing what God did when God created humankind and breathed into humankind a living spirit. It means that the Bible is alive. It's living. It's not static. It's a living collection of documents witnessing to the experience of the people who wrote it. Witnessing to the experience of the people who wrote it of God, of Jesus Christ, of the faith, of the persecutions they went through, and their struggles to come to know and experience God and share that experience with others. Well, I thought it was all, every single word of it, the inerrant word of God. I thought you had to take it all or throw it all away. I thought you had to accept it all or toss it. And the same people who say that will go this afternoon after church and eat a medium steak or bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich or shrimp cocktail or pork chops. There are parts of the Bible, my brothers and sisters, that we ignore, that we set aside for good reasons, because those parts of the Bible were written to the people then and there for their reasons and their concerns in that day and age. For example, why does the Old Testament have in the dietary regulations the regulations against the eating of pork? It's not because pigs are evil creatures. They taste really good. No. The reason is because pigs ate trash. They ate the refuse. They ate the sewer. And in the ancient world, if you ate that, you would get sick. In the current world, hopefully, prayerfully, the pigs that we eat have been well taken care of. In fact, many of them have been fed better than us. Certainly better than many people who starve today in this world. So those regulations don't make as much sense today as they made back then. Other examples of regulations. There are regulations in the Bible that seem to approve slavery. We don't accept those. How about women as property? I'm sorry, guys, but women are not property. Every time I did, thank you. I want an amen row. Come on. Every time I do a wedding, I look at the bride and groom and I turn to the bride and I say, in every argument you have, your husband will have the last two words. And then I turn to the groom and I say, in every argument that you have, those last two words are, yes, dear. Women are not property, yet the scripture seems to think they are. Their experience, their setting, their cultural milieu required that. That was what they knew and accepted. We don't accept that anymore. The death penalty was issued for all sorts of things that we don't apply it anymore. Genocide is in places apparently declared, and we deny that. I could go on and on and on. Now, I do believe in the inerrant word of God. But I believe in the only inerrant word of God that is declared by Scripture. And you find that declaration in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I believe in the one that this beautiful collection of books called the Bible, the Scriptures, the Holy Writings. I believe in the one to whom this points, God, Jesus Christ, the one who came to dwell with us, to show us the love of God, to express to us the grace and love and acceptance and forgiveness of God, and then to actuate it by dying for us. I believe that Christ Jesus our Lord is the only perfect Word of God that we are called to hear, to receive, and then share with others. We know the Word of God contained and communicated through the words of human beings who faithfully struggled with their experience and wrote down that experience in these wonderful scriptures. But the inerrant Word of God is Jesus. The inerrant Word of God is God. And it is to God that this book points. My sisters and brothers, keep in mind when you're confronted with the question of who do you worship? Do you worship God, or do you worship the Bible? Do you worship yourself, or do you worship God dollar? Where do you place your worth in life? Where do you place your worth? Is it in yourself or the things of this world? Or is it in the gifts and graces, the family of faith, the joy and the love of God, which is revealed to us in and through Scripture and the Christian life experience? As we go through our lives, as we move from day to day, as we express the love of God to others, let us truly express the love of God contained in Scripture, the love of God that we know in Jesus Christ, the love of God that calls us to receive all, to accept all, to forgive all, to love all, to serve all with the gospel, the good news, the reconciling, transforming news of the love and presence of Jesus. Yes, all Scripture is inspired. It is God-breathed. Yes, we too can be inspired, God-breathed, to share the living presence of God with all.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.